Welcome to another inspiring Sister's Message. We hope you are blessed by this ministry.
So I read an article while we were on holiday, and it's just something that I felt God directed me towards, what I'm going to speak to you about tonight, and it's so in line with what I'm going to share. But there was this article that asked this question: are dining rooms becoming extinct? Because in England, sales of dining room tables are declining, but I've discovered it's not just in England, but these stats I was able to get from the UK. And I read another article that says, Tipilo, the UK estate agent, did some research and found that the dining room is no longer for dining. That's sometimes true in my household because of life being just so busy and fast, and my kids are no longer, you know, we did the table thing, definitely. We did the table thing when they were growing up. But I'm not condemning, I'm just saying it's a trend, it's life, it's what life does. But we just want to bring you back to the dining room table and the reality of what the good that can come out of it. And it just says, it's no longer used for dining. That's the headline news from new research, which has revealed that 65% of Britons believe their dining room is no longer merely for dining alone. Instead, it's increasingly being used for storage purposes or for hosting special occasions only. This may be down to the fact that in this day and age, the number of people who sit down together as a family to eat is much reduced. And that's really sad because from a biblical point of view, the table plays a very, very big part, and also in the kingdom of God. I mean, it says in the book of Revelations that, you know, eventually when the bridegroom has collected the bride of Christ, that's you and I, the church, we will sit down and, you know, we will dine and we'll have a feast and we'll celebrate together. For families, table talk, maybe in the past, maybe in your world, may be the main source of exposure to family conversations and the expression of thoughts, ideas, and emotions. As an everyday ritual, the family meal can be seen as a symbol of a shared family life. I think that's what God intended. It organizes the family, regularly bringing family members together and contributing to their physical, mental, and social well-being. It provides a rhythm and predictable structure to the day, which can psychologically be reassuring. Positive family mealtimes help family members maintain relationships and feel a sense of belonging. When children can count on regular time with parents or adults, they feel loved, safe, and secure. Children set roots for a lifetime as they experience their family's values and traditions. And I have an anonymous quote here that says, the table is the center of a universe in which we seek our place, revolving like planets around the sun. We see in Psalm 23 verse 5, we love Psalm 23, don't we? It says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My brimming cup runs over. And before I tell you the title, the Jewish people, you know, for the Jewish people, the table is very central and important, especially for the Sabbath meal or Shabbat. So it's Friday night now, and you will find a traditional Jewish family will celebrate Shabbat, but it's not just a ritual or a religious thing to do. It is central to their faith and their belief in God to be around the table and to remember certain values that's taught in the Bible. And they see it as a spiritual exercise, not a ritual. So we have a message title this evening, and it's called I Belong at the Banquet Table. I belong at the banquet table, and I'm talking about each and every one of us. Amen? When you write, I belong, you're talking about you belonging at the banquet table. And my first thought this evening is a meal at the table speaks of belonging. Have you ever noticed how generous people can be when you even go to a restaurant and, you know, you see some familiar faces and you walk in maybe by yourself or with your spouse or sibling or something and they say, hi, come join us. You know what they're actually saying? They're saying, you belong with us. You belong in this conversation. You belong in our orbit. And I think it's a beautiful thing, and we get that quite often, and there are times when we just want to belong to each other. And sometimes we have accepted, and other times we just feel we don't often get that opportunity. But truly, a meal at the table, and from a biblical point of view, suggests that we belong, and it's a beautiful thought. And I want to read the main text passage this evening from Luke 14, where it speaks about the parable of the banquet. And it says, a man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, come, the banquet is ready. But they all began making excuses. One said, I've just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me. Another said, I now have a wife, so I can't come. She clearly must have a hooks in me and won't let me go out of her sight. The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. After the servant had done this, he reported there's still room for more. So his master said, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges. Hey, behind the hedges. Who are these people behind the hedges? I think they could be donkeys that are lying on the side of the road. But this man, who is God, clearly wants the people who are lying behind the hedges to come to his lavish banquet. This says something to me. And urge anyone you can find to come so that the house will be full. And we know, for the sake of time, not too much detail, we know what Jesus was aiming at with the story. He was saying, you know what? I came for the Jewish nation. I came as the Messiah. They read about me. They heard about me. They knew that I was coming. But they had the invitation to come to this banquet. But they made excuses. And so now what I'm going to do is I am going to do this. I'm going to open up my banquet hall and my banquet table for everybody on the planet. It's not just going to be the Jewish nation, the nation of Israel. It's going to be every Dick, Tom, and Mary that's going to be invited to my banquet. The cripple we see are possibly also emotionally crippled people, people that have been wounded like Kylie. You know, difficulties in the home, parents fighting, no money, struggles. The blind, we're the spiritually blind. You and I are spiritually blind until Jesus allows us to get new lenses to see what is going on, that there's a God in heaven who loves us, who sent his only son to die for us, and he wants intimacy with us. And he wants to give us what the world cannot possibly give us. Amen? And then it speaks about the lame. And that sounds very similar to the cripple, but as I meditated on that, I thought God was saying, the lame are those unable to get their act together. And when we see people who can't get their act together, we can be quite harsh with them. But God is saying, I want them. I want them in my house because I want my house full of this world, of the people of this world. past, present, and future. Amen. And so, second thought is the gospel offers food that is a feast for the soul. So we speak about the banquet, we're rolling out the red carpet, and there are times when we do roll out the red carpet really physically, but it's all really in spiritual terms, because the reality is that man shall not live, as it says in Matthew 4, verse 4. It says, the scripture says, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And what we see behind me is a beautiful, isn't this just a lavish, amazing table of food, beautifully put together by Solvik, and just so beautifully laid out. And it's really just symbolic in the natural, in the physical, of what we try to do when we run a local church. I believe local churches are meant to roll out the red carpet, put out the welcome mat, and are meant to labor for hours in the presence of God, saying, Lord, speak to me so that I can prepare a meal, so I can feed and I can nourish and I can encourage people, teach them about you, show them the gospel, show them the truth. So symbolically, you know, we're seeing a beautiful table, but this is what we are meant to be doing within each and every local church. Feast for the soul. Amen. Now, I think I'm probably running a little bit ahead of myself. The gospel offers food that is a feast for the soul. Number three, come as you are. We've heard that said so many times, but this parable teaches us really to come as you are, from behind the country lane hedges, and just to come in, the crippled, the blind, the lame, the whosoever, because God has created a place for us and he wants us to join him there, and he's letting us know this through this parable. Come as you are tells me something. It tells me the servant didn't run a background check on all these people before he invited them to the feast. Their background did not matter. He didn't find out their nationality. He didn't ask about their religious background or whether they even had one. He didn't ask if they had an abortion or had an affair. He didn't ask them to clean up their act. He didn't get a promise that they would behave themselves and show proper manners at the dinner table. The invitation was not based on anything in the recipients. It was based totally on the goodness and bounty of the host. All that these people had to do was recognize their hunger, their spiritual hunger, their yearning to fill a God-shaped vacuum on the inside of them that they didn't know how to fill it. Amen? And all they had to do was believe that the offer was true and say, yes, I'll come. And when they came, like so many of us, they found that the feast was far better than they had ever expected or imagined. I remember when someone told me about Jesus, they weren't the first people to tell me. And I used to switch off and not want to know anything about this conversation. But you know, when I finally, through the prayers of beautiful people praying for me, when I finally had my eyes sort of opened to, wow, and I received the Lord as my Savior, I never knew what I was missing. I never knew that I could have so much peace, so much joy, so much purpose in my life. Maybe all of that didn't come all flooding in all at once, but as I stayed and remained in God, all those things became more and more and more of a reality in abundance in my life, and I'm sure many, many of you can testify that. Perhaps you are saying, okay, well, God is not doing a background check, but I still feel a certain way about myself. If you only knew me. Well, our worth and value is not based on what we possess, what we earn, what we do for a living, who we know. Anyone know the Kardashians? I was at the nail bar today. Sometimes I really enjoy going. And they had Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Sorry, am I offending anyone here? But I was like, why would I want to do that? Although I did catch a glimpse of a t-shirt that says, don't repay evil for evil. So there was a moment of redemption there in my viewing. But really, your value is not based on, oh, I know so-and-so, or my son or daughter is so-and-so. It's not based on how educated we are. Our worth is based on who we are in Christ. Our faith in a living God who loves us and who wants the best for us. Yes, the road may be rocky and difficult at times, but God is still on the throne and he will still show himself to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He will show himself to be the God of Esther, Abigail, and Hannah. He will show himself to be the God of David, who was able to slay, amen, the lion and the bear, and finally the giant. And that is just such, for me, such a beautiful thought. The word tonight, besides belonging, is inclusion. Inclusion. Everyone is included and everyone is invited. The story of Kylie, where we got some of our staff girls to go to a little chapel because we couldn't possibly bring Kylie into this space with 15 people in the front row. So we used a chapel just to create a little bit of ambience and atmosphere as well. The beauty, I think that if you watched it carefully, you will realize not only was she made to understand that she belonged, but she was included, that she was immediately included. And that can only, listen to me, happen in the kingdom of God. It's the only place where it can happen, unless you have partners in crime, and then you're doing the wrong thing anyway. We come as we are, we don't stay as we are. At the table, at the banqueting table, we are renewed and we are refreshed. Song of Songs says in verse 4 of chapter 2, he brought me to the banqueting house and his intention toward me was love. His intention towards me was love. So number 4, we need to know that God wants us at his banquet table. He's not saying, oh, Father, do I have to have them? There's no catch. There is no catch. You see, why there is no catch is because we're all created in the image of a living God. And we are his children because we are created in his image. And so we belong, and he wants us. There is no catch. At Sisters Ministry, you belong here in the name of the Lord. You may be from another church, maybe they don't have a woman's ministry, but when we come together, we don't ask those questions. We don't ask anything about your past. We don't dig into your business and put our noses where it doesn't belong. Amen? We just want you to know you belong, that you are valuable in the name of the Lord. You are welcome here. The circle is open. It's not closed. There's always an empty chair for you. And even if the house is full physically, we will create more services to accommodate you. Amen? The Jewish nation also celebrate the Passover meal. And it has real meaning because if you know anything about the Word of God, Genesis into Exodus, and how, you know, they were taken into captivity in Egypt, and how eventually, when God was saying to Pharaoh, let my people go, eventually this is what they had to do. Each household had to take a lamb and they had to slay this lamb. And then they were to eat the food, enjoy the food, enjoy the meal, but they had to take the blood and paint it on the doorposts of their home so that the angel of death would, when the angel of death came, the people were safe inside those homes with the blood covered over them. And so, you know, we know that Jesus is our Passover lamb and that his blood is painted on the doorposts of our hearts so that the moment he knocks on the door of our heart, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you open the door and let me in, I will come and I will sup with you. I will eat and I will drink with you. I will refresh you with my spirit. I will feed you with the bread of life. I will feed you with that which only I can do and bring fulfillment into your life. And the minute I walk over the doorpost of your heart, the blood that I shed on the doorpost of your heart covers you from death. You have life. Amen? In 1 Corinthians 10:16, it says, when we bless the cup at the Lord's table, aren't we sharing in the blood of Christ? And when we break the bread, aren't we sharing in the body of Christ? So we call it the table of the Lord. We call it the Lord's Supper. We call it breaking of bread, communion. And I just want to read that passage to you in Matthew 26:26. It says, as they were eating, this is Jesus with his disciples, very important in the life of a Christian, very, very important for us to know what happened after this meal is the most important thing that happened on the planet. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This, take this and eat it, for this is my body." And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, "Each of you drink from it. This is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many." And so we know that after that communion, that breaking of bread, what we consider the Lord's table, Jesus went on to be betrayed and to be crucified and to die the death of a murderer, a sinner. But we also know that he rose again from the dead. So here's the Lord's table. You know, the Lord's table covers everything. What do I mean by that? So we invited to the banquet. The blind, the lame, the everybody. And here we are, we're at the table. And what can we bring to the table? We can't bring that at that point which can feed others. It's all been prepared for us. So what we bring to the table are these things. We bring our shortcomings and our weaknesses. We bring our sins. Jesus knew that when he was inviting the blind, the lame, and the cripple, and anybody in the highways and the byways, that when they came into that banqueting house and sat at the banqueting table, that what they will bring with them are all our failures, our lies, our wrongdoing, our unforgiveness, our stubbornness, our fears, our insecurities, our sadness, our rejection, our sick bodies, our poverty, our lack, our bad thoughts, the things we are ashamed of, our secrets, our hatred, our prejudices, our self-righteousness. All is dealt with and covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen? And in your notes, in Ephesians 3, it says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand all of God's, as all of God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. And that is all represented at his table. His table covers everything. In fact, when we come to his table And we get rid of those things because it says, confess your sins to the Lord and he will forgive you. Lord, I'm sorry for the things that I've done. You know, when I got saved, I didn't have to have a list of, and then I said to that lady, shut up and get out of my face. And then I drove down the road and I just hooted at everybody that I hated. And then I did this and I stole that money from my mother's jacket pocket. I didn't have to do that. I was led in a prayer like this. Lord, I'm sorry for all the wrong things that I have done. You see, all the wrong things at this table gets covered by the blood of Jesus. And he replaces all those conditions that we have. He replaces it with, in your notes, salvation. Salvation. What does that mean? I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. I'm saved. People don't like you telling them, or you ask them, are you saved? Maybe because they don't always understand it, because they'll say, saved from what? And then you don't want to get too heavy and say, from hell and damnation. But you are saved to spend eternity with him. And while you're on the earth, redemption takes place and there's a renewal of your mind and just your outlook on life. So salvation, adoption. We've been adopted into the family of God. The Jewish nation is who Jesus came for. He says, I came for the Jew first and then for the Gentiles. And that is as a result of what we read in that parable. I came for them, but they didn't want me. So then I wanted others to want me. How much do we want him? Amen? And when we want him, we automatically adopt it into the family of God. Amen? We can claim the promises to Israel for ourselves. Everything that God said good was going to happen to Israel. Jeremiah 11:29, where it says, I know the plans I have for you. They become my promises. They were written for the Jews. All the promises and the good things that King David writes about in the other psalmists, they become ours because we've been adopted. We're part of the family. Has anyone here adopted children? Anyone else? Beautiful. Let me see you. Anyone else? Yes. Anyone else? And how do you feel about those children? Very special, hey? No different, because when you had your little boy, you had two sons, the older one and the younger one, two brothers, beautiful, beautiful. That's how God feels about us. We're adopted. Every tongue, every tribe, every race, every nation, amen. Wholeness, wholeness. Wholeness, body, soul, and spirit. Wholeness is yours. Beauty for ashes. Because you see, when you're sitting in ashes, you're in a dark place. You're in a difficult place. And you probably look all ashen from the ashes in biblical times. If you think of Job, he sat in the ashes because he was like in a terrible place. And he scratched himself with the boils and he must have looked terrible. And ashes suggest something that is gone. It's dead. It's gray and it's black and it's awful and it's messy and you can do nothing with it. But God gives us beauty for ashes. Mourning into dancing. He turns your mourning into dancing. If you are still mourning the loss of a marriage, a child, a loved one, God says it's okay to mourn. But we don't mourn as those who have no hope. Therefore, we don't stay in mourning. You see, the table covers all of that. And he says, I'm going to turn your mourning into dancing. The world won't understand it. They'll think you've lost your marbles, because anyone who belongs to any church or God or religion have lost their marbles. But they don't have to understand it until they encounter Jesus for themselves. Amen? Abundance and mercy becomes ours. You see, at this table, they're not just leftover scraps lying around here. In fact, there's no leftover scraps lying around here. There's abundance in everything. And there's mercy. There's always mercy. See, God never runs out of mercy. He's always merciful. And then the joy of the Lord is our strength. You see, He brings joy. Joy that we can't always explain. And there's a long list of things that I could have added, and I see I've got mercy twice. So the gospel offers free grace and mercy. So clearly someone needs to know that there's mercy for you tonight. And lastly, forgiveness. And if you want to add peace, you can add peace, because the list will just go on and on and on. See, all of the things that we brought to the table, our brokenness, our mourning, our prejudices, our sin, our weakness, all of that stuff is covered. And God doesn't take that away from us and leave us with nothing so that we can go and get those horrible things back into our lives. He replaces them with the good things. Amen? At His table.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed and inspired by this ministry.